Good to see each other here today. Let's take our hymn books this morning and turn to 317. 317. Good old familiar hymn that all of us love, I believe. What a friend we have in Jesus.
We pray for those who could not be here today because of physical needs.
We pray your hand of blessing would be upon each one of them. We would desire to see them restored to full health and strength, but we leave that in your hands, knowing that your will is always best, and even in times when we are weak, your strength can shine forth through all that. So we thank you for that promise that you give us. Be with us now in our services today. We thank you for Brother Renzi being able to come back and be with us. We do pray your hand of blessing you will be upon him and his family. We pray that we would hear from you today. We pray for our pastor as he is away from us out in South Carolina. And we pray that as he prepares to come and be with us again this next weekend, that you would prepare his heart and our hearts to hear from you. And we do pray for the housing situation. He has let us know that you put in an offer on a home. And we pray that that decision, when it is made tomorrow, will be according to your will and way. If it be your will, that would be the home that you have for them here. But either way, leave that in your hands, knowing that during this transition time, just as you have for the last 3.5 years, you will be with us and guide us and show us what you would have us do. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, like I was just saying, Pastor put in an offer on a home to buy. So, we do not know any more details than that. He didn't say where it is or anything like that. He just said, pray about it and see what the Lord would do with that. So, hopefully next weekend when we see them, we'll find out what happened. So, continue to pray about that. Don't really have any other special announcements at the moment other than keeping you up to date on what's going on with our speaking schedule. Brother Renzi is here today. Good to have you with us again, as always. And Wednesday night, for the first time in quite some time, Dick Prue will be back with us. He wasn't able to be with us for quite a while. He and his wife both got COVID and were very sick. But they're doing much better. He'll be back with us. Pastor will be back Sunday. And then the closing on his house in South Carolina is the following Tuesday, so he'll only be able to be with us on Sunday. So we'll see what the Lord has as far as the following Wednesday night. And then he should be back on the 24th. So we'll pray about all those things. So that will update you on where we are as far as speaking schedule. Okay, let's take our hymn books once again. And let's turn to 448. 482. More about Jesus. 482. Psalm 25, verse 7. This will be the last week that we go over that verse. Starting next Sunday, we're going to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 1, starting in verse 9, also in verse 10. So Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, we'll be starting that next Sunday. But we're still on Psalm 25, verse 7 for this week. All right, before we go over it one time together, is there one or more who would be interested in saying the verse if they already know it? Okay, Marsh, go ahead.
Psalm 25, 7. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions, according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, let's say it together. Psalm 25, 7. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. All right, let's rise.
Here this morning. If you have a Bible, would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. One day the kingdoms of this world will be the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Amen. Thank God it doesn't matter who's in the White House. It doesn't. As long as the Lord is on the throne. Amen. That's all that matters. We can live through any government. In fact, history, Christian history, has proved that. There's been governments that have been way worse than what we experience. We can live through that. With the events that have been unfolding, and, you know, God alone knows what will unfold, that's for sure. It's a roller coaster ride, isn't it? It really is. I'll tell you what. The more you think about things, I think that we know the scriptures say that it's going to get worse, right? Men are going to get worse at deceiving and being deceived. We know the scriptures have predicted the end times are going to be worse. They're already worse. If you think of that, Timothy said about, you know, he labeled times where children are going to be disobedient to parents. I mean, you know, we're here. I think, from just my own personal thoughts, if you will, is we pray. We vote. We do what we can. And I personally think that what we all want is we want a delay in the inevitable. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. We all know it's going to get worse. Is that correct? Amen. But we don't want it to get to that place while we're here. Where it's going to affect us. I don't want these people over me. Lord, my children, my grandchildren, let them deal with it. Yeah, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying to you. I'm only thinking realistic. That's all I'm doing. We pray, dear Lord, please, you know, the right person, blah, blah, blah. But we also know the ways things are supposed to go. I mean, I'm sure that the people that were first living during the days when they started aborting people legally, they must have been thinking like, hold, you know what I mean? Wow. You know, but we're already past that to some degree. I'm not talking about believers and we don't care. I'm talking about society in general. Who'd ever think there would be a day where they would legalize women marrying women, men marrying men? These are things that are pretty much, you know. But what we do, and there's nothing wrong with it, we pray for delay. That's what we do. And in fact, I believe it was Josiah who his revival that he brought at the moment caused a delay. Hezekiah, there was a delay. You're not going to see it in your day. You're going to fall asleep in peace. But it's going to be your children and so on. And how do you rest with that? How do you say, well, I'm so glad it's not going to be during my time and it'll be during my kids' time, you know? Maybe the prayer shouldn't be, Lord, you know, help the right person get away. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen? His coming for us, we're out of here. Now, I understand there won't be world peace until Jesus rules and reigns from Jerusalem, but we're going to experience heavenly peace while hell is going on during earth until Jesus finally comes and sets up his kingdom. Amen? But we all have to get to a place in our life where we decide, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, we have to focus on living for the Lord the right way and in the right place. Amen? That's what we have to do. And keep on praying. There's been times where God's people have prayed and there has come a revival for a time. Amen? And that's what we do pray. But anyway, I want to speak. Last week, 2 weeks ago, that's how soon it's been. But 2 weeks ago, I started something in Sunday school and I basically covered one point out of four. So I'm going to just pick up where we left off and see what happens. Amen. In 1 Corinthians, I believe we're at 1 Corinthians. What we were talking about 2 weeks ago in Sunday school was the believer's fourfold obligation concerning the Word of God. Every believer has an obligation concerning the Word of God. And I just want to talk to you about, at least I have four of the thoughts. Last week I talked a little bit about the one 2 weeks ago. I'll keep saying last week, so the week is gone. So the first thing we talked about was the fact that believers are obligated to study God's Word. We talked about that in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing word of truth. Now, understand that that context is really for the minister. The minister really needs to be a student of the Scriptures. If the minister is going to effectively do his job, he needs to be a student of the Scriptures. Now, I know that there are those religious groups who say, hey, you know, just bless God, don't study, get up in the pulpit and let the Spirit of God take over. That's not how we do it. Okay, the Scriptures say study to the man of God to show yourself approved unto God. So that what? So that you can be a workman. See, the preacher is a worker. A worker for the Lord. And the toolbox of the preacher is this book right here. This is the toolbox. There are 66 tools in this box. And he needs to get a hold of the tools. Understand how to work the tools. You just don't give somebody a tool that don't know what they're doing with it. You have to learn how to work the tool by the Spirit of God. You study the Scriptures, you get a hold of the Scriptures, God uses you, God fills you, and then God uses you when your box is filled with the tools. He can lead, guide, and direct to use those tools, because God uses his Word as the tools to work in the hearts of his people. We all need repair. Can I get a witness on that? We all need repair. And we pray. In fact, I would encourage you as a congregation, pray for your preacher that God would give him the right word at the right time. Many times I would pray before I speak and I would say, Lord, help me to say the right things, but also help me to say it the right way. Because you can say the right thing the wrong way and people ain't getting it. You know, or you could say the wrong thing in the right way and it just ain't happening. Oh, if we can get a word spoken in due season, how good is it? I mean, God knows what time we need what we need. Amen? And so pray for your preacher. Pray that God would fill him and use him in a special way for the sake of the congregation. Because God's Spirit fills God, man, to use God's Word to be a blessing to God's people, I believe, for the sake of all people. Because what happens in our hearts in this place will go out those doors and God can use it in the world, in the workplace, and in our families and so on. Amen? And so pray for the preacher. We need to be students of the Scriptures, no doubt about it. One of the things we said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I mentioned this, but I didn't take you to the Scripture. By the way, the reason we need to study God's Word is that we might understand it. We have to study it to understand it. And I'll be honest with you. Sometimes even after a lot of study, I still don't understand it. Now I'm talking about some detailed things, you know, the finer points in some books of the Bible. I'm actually personally looking at Habakkuk right now. I've been probably in Habakkuk for the last 2.5 months, reading it every day several times. I've read as much as I possibly can. And as I read the commentaries, even Dr. So-and-so believes this verse is saying this, and the other Dr. So-and-so, this verse says this, and there's not a whole agreement on every little finer point of everything. Thank God for the majority of the points, the major points of the book are agreed upon. But it's almost like, well, some people believe this is saying that about this. And so it's not the easiest book to get up and say, hey, let me confidently tell you exactly what every word says and what every word means and so on. I'm learning one thing, if anything. Dear God, give me the gist of it. I may not understand the finer points of every little detail of every little thing because I'm not a scholar and I'm not a doctor and I don't know Greek and Hebrew. But I'll tell you one thing. God gave us his word, and he gave it to us in English. And I believe he gave it to us in the King James Bible so that we can understand. Now, I might not understand every detail of it, but I'll tell you what, if I study hard enough, boy, I get the gist of it. And you know what I say? That's just what I needed. I thought that was good. I ain't even going to get a holy grunt out of that one. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, one of the things we need in order to understand the Word of God is we need the Holy Spirit. If you're not saved, you don't have the Holy Spirit. The key to understanding the Bible is the Spirit of God. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. We need the Holy Spirit. He's the author of the book. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God breathed. Holy men of God, moved by the Holy Spirit of God, wrote down the things we have. Amen. We need the author to open up to us. We so often say, boy, if I could have been in Paul's head, if I could have been in Peter's head and understood what. No, I need the Spirit of God who's in my heart to help me to see what I need to see. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number. Let's begin in verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning verse number 9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things that which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, by the way, I believe in verse 9, he's speaking about natural man, a man that's unsaved. They don't understand. But look at verse number 10. But God hath revealed them unto who? Us. We that are saved. How? By his Spirit. See, those that are unsaved don't have the Spirit. They don't know. They don't see what God has for them. But you and I that are saved, we have the Spirit, therefore we see. In fact, Jesus said this way, blessed are your eyes for they see, and your eyes because they hear. Amen. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the Spirit that is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. No individual man, natural man, unsaved man knows the things that are in this book, but the Spirit of God does. Look at verse number 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God, which things we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual with spiritual. And I believe the Spirit of God uses scripture to interpret scripture for us. Amen. And that's why it's important, as I mentioned last time I was here, to be a scriptural person. Because if you're studying one scripture and you're filled with all kinds of other scriptures, the Spirit of God may pull up the other scripture that you have and open your eyes to see it connecting with what you're studying at the moment. Amen? Verse number 14 is the key verse. But the natural man, I believe that to be the unsaved man, the man that doesn't have the Spirit, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. The unsaved man can't understand the Word of God like it ought to be understood, because it takes the Spirit of God to understand the Word of God. Amen? Verse 15, but he that is spiritual, that's saved and has the Spirit, discerns, judges, if you will, all things and so on. And so the keys to studying the scriptures, you've got to be saved. We talked about that because you've got to have the Spirit. But then you also have to be not only saved, but we got to be spiritual. To have the Spirit is one thing. But when the Spirit of God has you, that's another thing. See, you can have the Spirit, but if you're quenching Him and grieving Him by your lifestyle, how do you expect Him to be doing His work of teaching when you're trying to learn and discern the Word of God? Amen? We know in the Scriptures we're told to grieve not the Spirit of God. And we're also told to quench not the Spirit of God. If the Holy Spirit is the teacher, and He is, let's not grieve Him or quench Him, because we need Him to guide us and direct us and teach us. Hey, to quench something would be to put it out. Is that correct? If you had a fire, if I had a candle, or if I had a match, if I'm going to quench it, what am I going to do? I'm going to put it out. If I was living in a dark place and I had a match or a candle that was going to guide me and direct me through that dark place, once I put that light out, guess what? I'm not seeing anything. I want to come to this book with the candle of the Lord shining so I can see and understand what I'm reading. Amen? So being saved is a key to understanding the Bible. It's a key to studying the Bible, being spiritual. We talked about some of these, and then also being scriptural. Again, being filled with the Scripture. So Scripture interprets Scripture. And then another thing I concluded with the last time was we need to be prayerful. Prayerful in this. We need to talk to the author of the book and ask him for his guidance and for his direction as we seek to study the Word of God. Psalm 119 and verse number 18 says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold, that I may see wondrous things out of thy law." When I come to the Bible and I come to study in the Bible, I'm looking upward to God and I'm saying, "Lord, I'm doing my part. I'm opening the book. I'm doing my part. I'm asking for your forgiveness and for your cleansing. If there be any sin in my life, I'm trying to make sure the way is clear. I'm trying to make sure that I've come to this book clean by the blood of Jesus, nothing hindering the Spirit, but I'm depending on you. I'm doing the human part by reading the book and reading other books and reading. I'm doing everything I can humanly." By the way, if you're not doing what you can humanly, don't ask God to open your eyes to see what you're not studying. Amen? And so, depending on the Lord, see, we need Him to open our eyes. We need it to be said of us, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father in heaven hath revealed this unto you." Well, we need it to be like Jesus on the Emmaus Road when those two disciples were walking and He opened unto them the Scriptures, beginning at Moses and so on. And what happened? He expounded unto them the Scriptures, even to the point where it says their hearts burned within them. Amen? That's what I want. I want the triune God to open my eyes and to see something and to understand something in the context to the point where my heart gets stirred up, gets fired up. How do you have burn without fire, right? That's what I want. That's what we all need, by the way. Amen? It's fire in the bosom that keeps us going for Christ. We get cold. We get calloused. Amen? We get indifferent. And so many other things. And we need the fire that comes from this book. Wasn't it Jeremiah who said he was quitting? I think it was Jeremiah 20, if I'm not mistaken. He was preaching, the people weren't listening, and he was discouraged. He was being persecuted for preaching the word. And he actually told God, "I am done. I quit." That's what he said. But then it goes on to say, here's what Jeremiah said, "But his word was in me like a fire, in my heart like a fire, and I could not stay." I couldn't quit because his word was that fire in my soul. It's like the steam engine. You understand what I'm saying to you? That steam engine, that fire that produces that steam, that produces that oomph, that produces what is needed to keep on moving on. Amen? How many times, you know, we've just had enough. We've had enough, but his word. That's why we need to get in this book, because we need this book to get into us. It is the motivator. It keeps us going. Amen? It keeps us going. God knows what we need when we need it. And that's why it's good to come into the church house and to have the word preached to us. Because God uses the word to stir us up. Amen? And to move us on and so on and motivate us. We need to be prayerful, amen, when you seek the Lord. The first responsibility we have to God's word as believers is we are responsible to study it. Let me give you the second responsibility, and probably this will be the last that I can give. And that is this. The believer is not only obligated to study God's word, but number two, we are obligated to secure God's word. Secure God's word. Once we have studied the word of God, we get it. You got to study it to get it. Amen? And by the way, sitting in this service right now, the next service and every other service you sit in, do you know what you're actually doing? You're studying the word of God. You're maybe not personally opening up commentaries and this, that, and the other thing. But if you are here with the right mind, if you're here like the Bereans were, of a ready mind, prepared, and that's why it's important. By the way, if I was the devil, I'd set you off before you get here. You say, how do you know that? Because I've been set off before I got here. Not this morning. Many times. I've gone to church, not only as a hearer, but as a preacher. And you know, the devil tries to set you off. You know, we watch basketball games. I like basketball games. And matter of fact, there were some football games yesterday we were watching, and my wife noted, she said, man, that guy was yelling at the, why did they yell at opponents like that? He's trying to get in his head. He's trying to get in his head. I mean, these guys will shake hands afterwards and everything, but when you're in the heat of the moment, they're trash talking, they call it. What are they trying to do? You're trying to get in this guy's head. Why? Get him off his game. If I can get in your head and get you off your game, then I can win. Let me tell you what the devil wants to do, and he does it many times with me. He gets me off my game. I think he's got me off my game personally now. Not this moment, but in my life, in this period of my life. He's got me off my game. I know that, and I've been praying about that this morning. But I'm saying to you personally, he knows how to get us off our game. If he gets us off our game before we come, many times like water off a duck's back, the word will be. Am I right or am I wrong? And then if you come in and you're on your game, and I use the word game, you know, I'm not using it irreverently or disrespectfully. You understand what I'm saying. You come in on your game and you're trying to absorb it, and maybe you do, and you know what? Maybe the devil says, okay, I didn't get him off his game or her off her game before, but now they're starting to get too good, man. They're making shots here. I got to do something. And so right after church or during church, something comes to your mind, whatever it is, to try to get us what? Off our game. I'm not saying Christianity is a game. You understand? I'm only using it as an illustration. It is a game to a degree. Even Paul used many, many of the games to refer to Christianity, running and so on. You did run well. Who did hinder you, right? The Galatian believers were running well, and false doctrine came in and hindered them, Paul said. You understand what I'm saying? You come in, you sit down, based on all that you've read in all your life, all that you've studied in all your life. You sit here and you listen to the word. And if you are on your game, in your mind, you're putting this together with many things that you have already in your heart. That's how it works, brethren. Amen? That's how it works. You store up for years in your heart and mind. You hear something, and all of a sudden you add it to what you've already heard. Right? I'm trying to think of an illustration at this moment. My wife and I were talking, the little drummer boy. That wicked song. The little drummer boy. One of my favorite songs, like it or not. I was reading the history. I just was listening to it one time, and I read the history, right? The lady who wrote that, she just passed away not long ago. I think she was in her 90s. She wrote everything about it. Never called it the little drummer boy. Never put it out there. Somebody took what she did, modified it a little bit, labeled it the little drummer boy. It just went off. Well, this woman realized this was her song. You know, she took the situation to court, and it was verified it's hers. And what my wife and I were talking about was it's amazing how one person can do something really great, if you consider that. But somebody else takes what they did and tweaks it here, tweaks it there, relay. And all of a sudden, It right, wow. It's almost like Solomon's temple. We call it Solomon's temple because he's the one that God used to build it. But really, David was the one that God gave all the instruction to. David was the one who prepared and provided so much for it. Why don't we call it David and Solomon's temple? You understand what I'm saying to you? My wife and I were watching a service on TV, right? And this preacher was talking about this man. I think it was in the 1800s it was. He was going by this blind person that was a beggar. And he threw this blind person a quarter, I think it was, or whatever it was at that time. And this blind person responded back what that man had given him. And that man realized he can't see. The reason he knew what he had was because he was able to feel it. You know, it's almost like if you think about our day, we have different things on dimes, nickels, quarters, right? So he could feel it. So he, you know, started working with that idea. My wife and I were listening to this preacher talk about this. And you know what I said to my wife? And she said to me immediately, we thought about that man and we're saying, that's Braille. That's Braille. You know, you understand what I'm saying? We thought he's the one that invented how the blind should read, but it wasn't. It was another man. Braille was somebody who took what this man started and perfected it. I'm just saying to you, hey, God may give one man a great idea and a great thought and whatever, but he may use somebody else to perfect it and to bring it to something greater. And we're talking about, and it's the thought of somebody starting something, another person finishing it, and it seems the one to finish it seems to get more to credit. You say, Brother Matt, where does this mean anything scripturally? I don't know. I do have a scripture I thought about. One man sows. Another man waters. Hey, but it's God working through both to give the increase. This man might have the idea, but Braille finishes it. God used it. Can I get a witness on that or no? You may have something that you're doing. Some man like your dad may have started this church. Spent 40 years doing all that he's doing. This other fellow may come in and God may use him to take it further. We don't say, well, one man's better than another. No. God uses one man to do one thing, another man to do another thing, but God's using both. He gives to every man according to their several ability. That's it. Nobody's better than another. Paul said that when the church was divided in Corinthians. I follow this one and I follow that one and I follow this one. And Paul said, who are we? We didn't die for you. We're not Christ. God has used everybody for your sake. No matter who it is, Apollos, Cephas, or Peter, or so on. Nobody gets the glory. Amen? But God. We need to secure God's word. We study to get it. We study hard to get it. We need to secure it. Let me give you the best ways that I think you and I can secure God's word once we get it. Number one, hide it deep. Hide it deep. When you get a truth, by the way, I'll refer to a truth in the Bible as a gold nugget. When you get a gold nugget of truth, hide it deep. Hide it deep. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Here's another way to hold it secure, or to secure it. Hold it firm. Hold it firm. In 1 Thessalonians 5:21, the Bible says, prove all things. In other words, test it. Test all things. When somebody's teaching and preaching the word of God, or when you're hearing something on the radio, it may sound interesting. Whatever it is, do this. Test it against the truth of the word of God. Prove all things when you hear something, and just make sure that what you're hearing is truly the word of God. I don't care how much you like a person. Just because a person says something doesn't mean it's right. Amen. Doesn't at all. We as God's people are responsible to make sure what we're hearing is true. In fact, in Acts 17, 10 and 11, the Bereans were those type of people. They, with all readiness of mind, they listened to Paul and what he said, but they searched the scriptures daily to make sure those things were so. Even Paul the apostle, when he shared the word with those Jews in that synagogue, they didn't just simply say, well, okay, he said it, so we'll believe it. No, they said, we want to make sure what you're saying is truly scriptural. And by the way, any preacher should not ever be offended that people would want to do that. Never. We're not in this, well, you just ought to believe it because I said it. My mother, when she first got saved, she was a Catholic. And when she first got saved, obviously, the questions were rising. She went to the priest, her priest, with these questions, and they said, these are the mysteries of the faith. You just simply trust us. Hold on a minute. God didn't give us ministers that we might trust them. God gave us his word that we might trust it. Amen. And so our goal in life is not to find a person we can trust. It's to make sure that what they're saying is verified by the word of God so we can trust the word of God. If we tested and sought to prove everything we heard, we'd become better Christians eventually, no doubt about that. It's those who could care less what they hear that don't become good Christians. Amen? In 2 Timothy 1:13, it says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, Paul said. In Proverbs 4:4, the Bible says this, let thine heart retain my words. See, you and I are responsible not only to study the word so we can get the truth, but we are responsible to hide the truth in our heart and hold the truth firm. Why? Why do I need to hide it deep and why do I need to hold it firm? I'll tell you why. Because I know somebody who would like to steal it from you. Why hide the valuable word of God? Because I know somebody would steal it from you. When you go on vacation, you don't say, well, hold on a minute, we're going on vacation. Honey, get my jewelry box. Let's lay it on the dining room table, okay? Get my watches. Oh, by the way, get that cash I got too. Let's throw that out on the couch. No. You know, people watch you and they see you leave your home and they might see you packing up to leave and they're thinking, okay, they're gone for a while. What do? You hide items. Valuable items. There's valuable truths that we get. We got to hide because I know the devil. By the way, he is a thief. The thief, John 10:10, cometh not but for to steal. Amen? We know the parable of the sower. Jesus was the sower who sowed the seeds of the word of God. And immediately the fowls of the air came and plucked up the seeds. There's a picture of the devil right there. Trying to steal the word. Hide it deep. Why? Because somebody wants to steal it. Why should I hold it firm? Here's another answer. Why should I hold it firm? Because it can slip away. There are great truths that we can let slip away if we're not mindful. Hebrews 2:1, if you'll listen to this. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Amen. We are responsible to study God's word. Why? So we can get those gold nuggets and those gold truths. Studying the word of God is pictured to me like digging for gold. It's digging for gold. When I'm in the study of the scriptures, I'm digging for gold. I'm digging for gold nuggets. I'm digging for the gold truth nuggets of God's word. Amen. Amen? And you're not going to discover the gold nuggets if you're not digging. Amen? But when I dig into the word of God and I get a hold of the gold nuggets, I got to hide them deep and hold them firm. Why? I know there's an enemy who wants to steal them from me, but I also know my own humanity. In my own humanity, I might let them things slip by and slip away from me. Why is it that sometimes when we're sitting in a service and the preacher or the teacher says something and it just strikes us really, really powerfully, it's maybe a statement, it's a verse, it just hits us like, you know what we do sometimes, and I hope I'm speaking for you, we look for a pen. or we nudge our spouse for a pen. What are we doing? Can I tell you what we're doing? We're in essence saying, that was a gold nugget. I don't want to lose that. I need to what? Write it down. Amen? And by the way, I'll close with this. A short pencil is better than a long memory. Amen? If God speaks something to you and you don't want to forget it real soon, jot it down. Amen? Jot it down. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word today. Please help us to study the scriptures as it is our responsibility. And those that minister to others, and it doesn't have to be the official pastor / preacher, teacher. We all ought to be ministering one to another. We all need to be students of the scripture if that's the case. Help us all to be students of your word. Help us to do our part in studying the word so we can find the gold nuggets of truth in your word. And I pray when we find these gold nuggets that help us to hide them in our hearts and hold them firm that we might use them to be a blessing to help others. I pray thee, Lord, for this time of break that you'll watch over, bless the time of fellowship, and pray that you'll prepare our upcoming service this morning. Again, we just ask your blessing and protection in Jesus' name. Amen.